Welcome to Fraud Talk, the ACFE's monthly podcast. I am Mandy Moody, and I'm the media manager here at the ACFE. And today I'm going to be talking to Misty Carter. And Misty works in our research department here. In her previous life, she was an auditor. Well, I was talking with her this week about what we could talk about as far as case studies, and Misty started talking about a tool that she used at one of her previous companies, which was a continuous monitoring fraud application. And she said, you know, I really think this would be a good topic. We found so many things through this tool, and it would be something companies could do and, you know, maybe just give a rundown of how we did it. So, of course, I jumped on that, and today I have Misty with me.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Let's just start at the beginning and tell me about the reason behind creating this monitoring fraud application in-house. You created it in the company and kind of how it all came about.
Well, prior to implementing this application, the only monitoring system that we had in travel and entertainment, because that's what the fraud tool was looking for, is fraud in that particular area. The only monitoring that we had was random audits of expense reports. The system would randomly select expense reports for the audit team to review. And basically, the only thing that review consisted of was looking at an expense and seeing if a receipt was attached. Basically, that's it. And so we weren't really able to see or get much visibility as to if fraud was occurring and how often it was occurring, because these are one-off instances that we were looking at. So fortunately, we had someone that came on with the company at her previous employer. They had implemented a fraud tool in-house for travel and expense. So she was a big proponent, and she was basically able to talk to management and show them the benefits of how something like this would benefit the company, especially because the company that she came from was smaller than the company that she was with then, with the travel and expenses. Like, we're spending much more money was going out the door. So that's one of the reasons that it came about. Basically, after discussions with the senior management, we shopped around and we found a vendor that we liked, and we started with a process of implementing the tool within the company.
So tell me, what exactly did the application tool do? How did it work?
So it wasn't built in-house by our IT team, because we didn't have the resources to do it. And then it really wasn't cost beneficial to have someone in-house build it when there's vendors that actually specialize in the area. We actually found the vendor that specialized in the area of data mining for travel and entertainment expenses. And they had already used this application for other large companies, so they were very familiar with the types of fraud tests that companies would run. The only thing that they didn't expect is the number of transactions that would be flowing, because the company at the time had a little over 100,000 employees.
Wow.
That's global. And, you know, easily someone could, as a company, over a million transactions could be submitted. So that's one of the things that some companies, if they're looking for something like this, to consider is the number of transactions that you actually, on a daily or monthly basis, you have.
You don't want to break it.
you don't want to break it, and we almost broke it. So that took a little bit, because I don't think they knew what they were signing up for. Once we got that kink worked out, we were able to work with the vendor to go over the types of queries or checks or tests that they had already established. And then we looked at our organization, and we were able to develop other queries in addition to some of the ones they had that were more specific to our organization. Through this whole process, because there were so many transactions, we didn't run it across the entire company. We just selected a small portion, because initially you'd get a lot of false positives. So part of the testing was to determine, you know, what were true exceptions, what were not, so that we could limit the number of false positives coming through the system. And so after that was done, we were basically ready to launch the tool for the entire company.
So how did it function and end up assisting you, and I'm assuming you, along with other people, a team, how did it help y'all as auditors?
So as I mentioned before,
previously, the only thing you could look at is an expense report. So, for example, Mandy, you submit an expense report and I happen to, it gets flagged and I look at your report and then maybe I'll never see a report from you again. With this tool, we were able to look at 100% of expenses being submitted as opposed to just a few. So one of the great things about this tool is we were able to look at the big picture. We were able to determine how much money the company was spending in travel. We were able to break it down by department. We were able to break it down by expense type. Even people, we were able to determine if a senior executive spent so much a month and his admin spending about the same, there's a problem there. So we were able to look at anomalies. One of the areas that really helped us as an audit team was around cash, because with cash, people are able to really get away with a lot of different things. So they can basically, with cash, they can type in whatever vendor they want. They can type in whatever amount they want and just, you know, try to match it up with the receipt or not if they're not that smart. So one of the things we were able to do is we were able to look to see how much cash people were using. And based off of that, we were able to see within a certain group who was spending more cash than others and in certain areas. And with this, we were also able to look at duplicate expenses. So we were able to see if maybe someone had submitted an expense using their credit card for a certain amount on a certain day, and then maybe in the next month or next report, they submitted the same expense, same day, same amount, but it was for cash.
What are some other examples of the things that you found? We were talking about this a few days ago, that there were things that happened that were an immediate cause for dismissal, while there were other things that happened that you'd get reprimanded and still stick on. But what are some of the things that you did find?
When we turned on the system, we didn't know what we were going to find, because we had several tests or queries built into the system that would, you know, flag transactions that didn't meet certain criteria. Some of the things we found is misclassified expenses. The credit card company, and most credit card companies do, is they have vendors classified under certain things. So, for example, as a restaurant or as like gas station, those type things. So we were able to use those identifiers and match them against expense types. For example, if maybe Chili's came up and someone put it as fuel, well, we know that Chili's is a restaurant chain, and last time I checked, you can't purchase fuel there. So those are some of the things that we found is where people misclassifying their personal expenses. We found several instances where people would classify like use jewelry stores or like Best Buy and things like that, and put them as business expenses when indeed they were personal expenses. We would find some people that would have tons of, almost close to thousands of personal expenses that they would never put on a report because, of course, they didn't want their manager to see. Mm-hmm. They didn't have visibility into that. So our team did. So imagine getting an email from someone listing all of these expenses that you use for the corporate card, and now your manager is being CC'd on it, which that was very effective. But in some instances, we found that not only was the employee doing it, but the manager was doing it. So we would have to, you know,
see somebody else.
And if we, you know, if we emailed the manager and we saw that nothing happened to that employee, then we would, you know, wait, give them time to do it. And if nothing happened, then we would forward on the email to include the employee, the manager, and then the manager's manager. And usually that worked as part of our process.
So you mentioned when we spoke that you caught about $2 million worth of fraudulent charges just in the first 6 months of using the tool. What was the majority of that made up of? What did you see? And were you surprised at how much there was?
We were surprised. Like I said, we didn't know what we were going to find when we turned it on. And when we did turn it on and go live, there was so much. We said, okay, how are we going to tackle this? So we said, let's focus on the area where we see the most number of exceptions. And where we saw a lot of exceptions, we had a test or a query built where it would look for credits that had never been applied to an expense report, but the initial expense was. And so we had a lot of those, and we noticed that a lot were for airfare. So when you look at airfare, that's not cheap, especially for someone flying, you know, across the country. In most instances, the employee would book a flight, expense it, the company would pay for it, and then for whatever reason they have to cancel the flight, they were issued a credit. But if they didn't apply the credit to a report, it never offset the expense. Some employees would just, let's say they had an airfare for $5,000, they would just charge up $5,000 worth of personal expenses to offset that credit and then never put any of that on a report. And that's what we found initially, close to $2 million with that. And, you know, of course, you know, once we contacted the manager and the employee, you know, and they issued it, the credit back to the company, they were responsible for paying that money back to the company. But that was a big issue. And just in general, people using the card, I mean, the policy did say, you know, we had the T&E or travel and entertainment policy that said, you know, corporate card use is not for personal, it's for business. Most companies do that. But
I know you have to spell it out for
you. We have to say, but they just assume that, well, I can just use it as my personal credit card. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some would pay, and the manager would never see, and they thought it was okay because they were paying it. But if you're using the corporate card for personal expenses, that means there's an issue with your credit. So that's mainly what we found initially that we were able to, which is a good thing because there was cost involved in having this tool implemented. And so, of course, management is going to want to see what is their return. Mm-hmm. And so that's something good that we were able to show them within X amount of months, hey, this is how much money we were able to save the company just from this one particular scheme. So that was a good thing.
Can you tell me a couple of crazy examples of what you found?
So one example, this is when a senior, this is an executive actually, was walked out, is there was an employee that was getting married in another country, and there are several people in the department that wanted to attend this wedding. And so they, you know, booked flights and hotels using the company's card and basically flagged it as a team building or team meeting.
Offsite.
Yeah, it's an offsite team meeting. That was a big one because that kind of showed that senior management was in fact supporting this because, mm-hmm. you know, the executive had to be, I mean, mm-hmm. literally walked out. Yeah. We had instances where we would call. So sometimes we would, certain establishments just were weird. And, you know, we would do a lot of Google on vendor merchants. And a few that would come up would be these XXX or these gentlemen's clubs. And mm-hmm. so we would actually call. So one instance we called and the person had expensed it as like a meal, listed attendees, and you know, we were okay, so what type of establishment? And basically it was a strip club, a gentleman's club. And I'm like, do you at least serve food there? Like, yeah, we serve sushi. I was like, okay, well, I mean, at least you serve food, but it did happen to be,
sorry.
You know, yeah. So that's another kind of weird instance where
I doubt they went there for the sushi.
I doubt they went there for the sushi. So that's another example, which was quite hilarious. And then we had another situation, too, where it's really random for admins to have their own travel card. They will have a purchasing card. So that's one of the things we looked at is administrators or admins that would have corporate cards, travel cards. And one time we found this young lady who had several. I think she was living off of the card. But we had an admin we saw where it looked like she had her own business. And she was using the card to purchase items for her business. And when we reached out to her, and of course we CC'd the manager had no idea that she even had a travel card. And so we got the investigations team in on this one. And basically she had access to his password, and she basically approved her own card without him knowing it. So she was fired. And just random things that we would find. A lot of times people just aren't smart. And then there are some who are very clever, but we were able to catch them too.
So, you know, I'm assuming people are seeing things being done. You know, they're seeing the executive get walked out. They're hearing about people getting fired. Did it ultimately deter people from doing it in the future? And were there any formal ways that you let employees know, like, we're using this tool now, so, you know, heads up, be on alert, we're looking at travel and expense reports, or travel and entertainment reports, you know, watch yourself.
That's one of the things we wanted to do. It's hard to quantify compliance. So one of the things that basically we had to institute was a trending system to say, okay, we started here, I'm using the tool based off of X amount of exceptions, and we would trend quarter to quarter. Are we getting more? Are we getting less in this particular area? And we based it off of the different types of queries or schemes that were built into the system. We had that. We had reports that we would share with management on, hey, we're getting better. We were able to also look at the amount of spend. We were able to determine and track from month to month and quarter to quarter how much spend we were having, and it did decrease. We also, in addition to sending emails to particular employees, they talk. So if one employee gets an email from, you know, an auditor, they're going to tell their friends, or they're going to tell whomever in the department that, hey, I got this email. I don't know if you did, but they're checking, you know, these types of things. And so that gave others the heads up. In addition to that, we would have email communications that we would draw up, but we would have, you know, let it come from senior management so that people could see that, hey, yeah, they support this initiative. And we didn't want to let people know exactly how we were finding the things that we were finding, but we wanted them to know some of the findings. So we had to be careful about letting them know that we're checking for personal expenses, or maybe, you know, be aware of this within the policy, and kind of point out within the policy some of the things that we knew were going on, but we would, you know, put in the email blast or the newsletter. Yeah, I think this was a good call from management on implementing this tool, because it is a continuous controls monitoring tool, and that's something that now more companies are starting to be aware of. There's the big data buzzword that's going around, and just being able to look at 100% of transactions within anything is great, as opposed to having to sample. And for the audit team, it's good because you're able to focus your attention on certain areas as opposed to searching for a needle in a haystack. You're able to, at least these tools focus you in a certain area of potential fraud, and then you, you know, do a little more investigation to determine, you know, if it's a true fraud, or maybe it's just a training issue. People need to be trained.
It's awesome to hear a success story. Here's what we caught, and then here is how it actually worked. Thank you for joining us today, and thank you for listening today. And we look forward to talking with you next month. As always, you can find all of our podcasts at acfe.com/podcast. This is Mandy Moody, and I will talk to you next month.